Unit 12, Unicameralism and Bicameralism. Page number 23. Structure. 12.1. Objectives. 12.2. Introduction. 12.3. Unicameralism. 12.4. Bicameralism. 12.5. Bicameralism in UK, US, India and Switzerland. 12.6. Let us sum up. 12.7. Keywords. 12.8. Some useful books. 12.9. Answer to check your progress exercises. Page number 24. 12.1. Objectives. Following are the major objectives of the study. 1. To study the argument in favor of unicameralism. 2. To understand the meaning and importance of bicameralism. 3. To make a comparative study of bicameralism in 4 countries, UK, US, India and Switzerland. 12.2. Introduction. At the outset, the legitimate choice between one or two chambers, legislature in a country is a simple matter. But it is not so. It combines and reflects multiple and complex issues such as equal representation, territorial representation, balance of power, legislative efficiency, popular representation, etc. This is the reason why different political systems have adopted different forms. Federal systems, such as the US, have adopted bicameralism so as to accommodate the territorial representation. Even some of the unitary systems have adopted bicameralism, such as the UK. However, the many of the unitary systems have adopted unicameralism in the name of legislative efficiency and representation. There are multiple arguments either in favor of or opposed to bicameralism or unicameralism. Many would defend the bicameralism on the grounds of stability, legislative quality, and protection against possible tyranny. On the contrary, there are critics too. Similarly, unicameralism is also defended. These arguments have emerged as counter to the advantages of bicameralism. 12.3. Unicameralism. There has been a growing debate with regard to the need for either bicameralism or unicameralism. In 1986, there were 55 countries that had adopted unicameralism, which was surveyed by the Inter-Parliamentary Union. However, most of the countries which adopted unicameralism were unitary states or countries, wherein the political power is concentrated in the national parliament. Page number 25. Secondly, it was found that the size is also one of the factors in unicameralism. Countries which are small in size prefer to have one chamber than two. In fact, there are multiple arguments in favor of unicameralism. Scholars such as Etheridge argue that a unicameral system has the tendency to intensify the elite minority influence. Etheridge, 1991, page 338. There is a consensus among the scholars that unicameralism is better suited to small, non-federal, homogeneous countries, open brackets, in terms of culture, ethnicity, and other factors. There are other arguments, too, which views that existence of an upper house in a democratic setup has no meaning. This is because of the fact that it mirrors equally democratic lower house and therefore it becomes unnecessary and a burdensome in a democratic country. Secondly, it is argued that the functions of a second chamber can be done away with as the parliamentary committees can perform its functions. This is the reason why the second chamber can be abolished. Thirdly, it is also argued that the second chamber would safeguard the democracy is not true. This is because of the fact that any time the privacy of the second chamber can be withdrawn by an executive order. In this context, it has been argued that the constitutional safeguard should be provided by a written constitution than by the second chamber. Further, it is argued that powers of one of the chambers, particularly the upper house, are not always derived from the popular votes. In countries such as UK, they are either from aristocratic class or hereditary. They are sometimes nominated, as in the case of India. In addition, their argument centered on the issues of serving the representational purpose. It is argued that the presence of two houses would not serve the purpose for the simple reason that members of two houses would be from the same constituencies in many countries. It is nothing but a duplication of work. Most important argument made in favor of unicameralism is the efficiency. Unicameral system is more efficient than the bicameral system. Page number 26. Further, they argue that two chambers would make the public opinion confused. This is further argued on the basis that since sovereignty is one, will is one, it cannot be divided. The presence of two chambers would go against the single will and single opinion. In addition, it is argued that the unicameralism would expedite the legislative process or the procedures than the bicameralism. Finally, it is argued that the second chamber, particularly the upper house, goes against the basic philosophy of democracy. This is because of the fact that it is represented by the conservatives, landlords, aristocratic class, who play a negative role towards social reforms and changes. This is the reason why some of the countries in its history had a second chamber, but subsequently, due to political exigencies, abolished it. For example, when a second chamber obstructed the passing of legislation such as the Landsting in Denmark, the same was abolished in 1953. Or it was abolished for the simple reason when it became ineffectual, such as the case of New Zealand in 1951, where the latter abolished the Legislative Council. Interestingly, countries like Iceland and Norway faced a peculiar phenomenon. The legislatures would be elected on unicameral basis, but they would be divided into two different houses after the election for legislative purposes. However, after abolishing the bicameralism, many countries made corresponding changes in the constitution to safeguard the interest and also checkmate the abuses of power and make the legislature more effective. One of the classic cases is the way Denmark introduced different checks on executive power after abolishing the Landstinget. These reforms include the principle of cabinet responsibility to the parliament, a provision for every law to be placed before the referendum, open brackets, except for financial laws, close brackets, for confirmation and appointment of ombudsmen, etc. Countries like UK, India and Canada have bicameral legislatures. However, the real legislative power is concentrated in one house, mainly in the lower house. The following Western democracies have national unicameral legislatures. For example, Finland, in brackets, Eduskunta, Israel, in brackets, Knesset, Iceland, in brackets, Althing, Greece, in brackets, Vouli ton Elinon, Luxembourg, Denmark, in brackets, Folketing, Sweden, in brackets, Riksdag, New Zealand, Turkey, in brackets, Buyuk Millet Ecclesi, Norway, in brackets, Storting, Portugal, in brackets, Assembly of Republics, and Seychelles, in brackets, Assemblée Nationale. Page number 27. Even other countries, such as People's Republic of China, open brackets, National People's Congress, close brackets, Taiwan, open brackets, Legislative Yuan, close brackets, Croatia, open brackets, Sabor, close brackets, East Timor Parlamento Nacional, South Korea, open brackets, Kukho, close brackets, Singapore, open brackets, Parliament, close brackets, Sri Lanka, open brackets, Parliament, close brackets, Venezuela, open brackets, Assembly Nacional, close brackets, are known for single chambers. Nonetheless, even the subnational entities in a country also have unicameralism. The best example would be Nebraska in the United States. All the provinces and territories in Canada, Queensland in Australia, and even India, some of the states have unicameralism, such as Kerala, bicameral and unicameral systems. There are two columns. The first column is bicameral. Australia, Canada, Fiji, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Netherlands, Spain, South Africa. Unicameral systems: Austria, Cameroon, Cape Verde, Denmark, Finland, Greece, Ivory Coast, Monaco, Mongolia, New Zealand, Sri Lanka. Page number 28. Bicameral: Switzerland, Thailand, United Kingdom, United States. Unicameral: Sweden, Syria, Uganda, Tanzania. Check your progress. 1. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. 2. Also check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. Question number 1. Discuss the arguments in favor of unicameralism. 12.4. Bicameralism. Over the years, bicameralism has been the major tendencies among the states, which does not mean that all the countries have adopted bicameralism. Bicameralism has been seen or viewed as a means to reconcile the opposing interests of different social groups by granting them either the veto power or powers to review. Browninger, 2002-5. It is also seen as one which can checkmate the democratic aggressiveness of one of the chambers, particularly in the first chamber. It is here that bicameralism is preferred for the reason that it would checkmate the tyranny of the majority. In fact, bicameralism has evolved due to other reasons too. 1. It emerged out of need to balance political power within the political structure. And secondly, it evolved due to the apparent need for the efficiency in the legislative procedure. One can also add one more issue. It also evolved to checkmate the possibilities of abuse by power by either chamber. It is here that different federal states have modified the principles of representation so as to see that different or various units of the federation are given or guaranteed some, if not equal, representation in one of the chambers, basically in the upper house.
Page 29.
This is depending upon the status as well as the population. The growth of bicameralism required to be seen in the ancient past, especially the Greek and Roman Republic. Greek political philosophers were the first to advocate the merits of mixed governments, that is, bicameralism, over simple or unicameral governments. This reflected in the way they argued in favor of a government with different number representing different parts of society. 1. A monarch, the few, aristocrats, or the many, a republic. At the same time, they argued that mixed government was the best government which would balance the politics. It was during the medieval period that the different social classes thought to acquire separate chambers to protect their interests. This is reflected in the way the second chamber in the United Kingdom, mainly the House of Commons, came into existence. Incidentally, the British model was replicated in different countries. In the modern period, it emerged as a great compromise in the Philadelphia Convention of 1787 in the United States. It was to provide representation to different states in the federal system. Here lies the opposition to hereditary principle as well as the principle of class. In North America, most of the states evolved the political system initially through unicameral government. However, quickly they moved to or evolved into bicameral legislatures. Over the years, bicameralism had grown or evolved in two different and distinct ways. In the first instance, it evolved by focusing on representing different societal classes, and in the second instance, it has evolved by stressing on the need for representing different aspects of the nation, population, and territory. This has, however, given rise to three distinct variations in bicameral in recent years. 1. In the first variety, it has given rise to legitimate as well as politically powerful upper house, open brackets, as found in federal systems. 2. In the second variety, it has given rise to weak and efficient upper houses, open brackets, found in unitary systems, close brackets. 3. In the third instance, it has evolved into congruent bicameralism. Page number 30. Here, the political composition of the second house resembles that of the first house to such an extent that the debate hinges on the intrinsic value of the second house. Countries with congruent bicameral parliaments usually dissolve them in favor of unicameralism. In the modern times, the large number of countries have adopted bicameralism. For example, in the 1970s, there were only 45 countries with bicameral parliaments. Now, the number has increased to 64, as recognized by Inter-Parliamentary Union in 2001. In the United Kingdom, they are called Parliament that consists of House of Commons and the House of Lords. In the United States, they are called Congress. The latter consists of the Senate and the House of Representatives. In the United States, bicameralism exists except in the state of Nebraska. In India, Parliament is the same for bicameralism, which consists of Rajya Sabha and Lok Sabha. In other countries, they are as follows. 1. Canada. It is called Parliament, consists of House of Commons and the Senate. Here, all the state or the provincial legislatures, however, are unicameral. 2. Ireland. The Oirirtas. The latter consists of Dáil Éireann, the House of Representatives, and the Seanad Éireann, the Senate. 3. Netherlands. It is called the State General. The latter consists of Tweede Kamer, Second Chamber, and Eerste Kamer, First Chamber. 4. Spain. It is called Cortes Generales. The latter consists of Congreso de los Diputados, Congress of Deputies, and the Senado, Senate. 5. Australia. It is called Parliament, which consists of House of Representatives and Senate. 6. France. It is called Parliament and that consists of Assemblée Nationale, National Assembly, and the Senat, Senate. 7. Germany. It is called by Bundestag and Bundesrat. 8. Japan. It is called the Diet. The latter consists of the House of Representatives, Shugi-in, as the lower house, and the House of Councillor, Sangi-in, as the upper house. Selection to the upper house or two houses are not uniform. In fact, the selection to the upper house most of the time is done from narrower groups of population than the lower house. The latter are mostly from the popular mandate. page number 31. Examples are American House of Representatives, the Italian Chamber of Deputies, the British House of Commons. Few countries elect their upper houses in whole or in part by popular elections. Majority of upper houses are partially or totally filled through different methods. One such method is direct election through the local legislature, open brackets, like the original American Senate, or election by vocational bodies, like the Irish Senate, election by regional councils, France, election by the lower house, Denmark, or appointment by the executive branch, England. In other words, there are three methods to appoint the representatives to the bicameral legislature. Nomination, election through direct suffrage, elected by a mixer of direct and indirect suffrage. For example, South Africa and Ethiopia, provincial legislature assemblies execute indirect election. On the contrary, in countries like Gabon and Mauritius, election takes place by local authority representatives. On the contrary, there are other countries wherein the representation is done either by election or by appointment. Classic case is Algeria, including India. Second important area where bicameral parliaments are not uniform or differ is the number of members and the terms of office. There are countries, 27, where the upper house has less than 19 members, 22, whose members number between 50 and 109, and 13 countries, including Egypt and Morocco, with more than 109 members. On the issue of the term of office, in 13 countries, members serve for 4 years. In 22 countries, they serve for 5 years. And in 7 countries, they serve for 6 years. Open brackets. However, there are countries wherein the members serve less than 3 years. Burkina Faso. There are even countries which have provided membership for 9 years. Morocco and Liberia. Close brackets. In fact, the bicameralism is not confined to any of the political systems. In federal system, such as the case in Australia, the United States, India, Brazil, and Germany have bicameralism. There is one exception, Comoros. It is here that one can find the linkage between bicameralism and federal political structure. It is here the argument in favor of bicameralism has become popular, especially when the federal units with wide differences require representation at the central level. The second chamber has fulfilled such a demand of the different federal units. It is here they accommodate the dualistic nature or the structure of the state. One side, they represent the popular national interest, and on the other, they represent the regional or provincial interests.
Page number 32. Even the unitary system has adopted bicameralism. Classic examples would be Japan, France, Philippines, and Ireland. In these countries, the upper house are meant for scrutinizing and sometime vetoing the decisions of the popular house. Nonetheless, in the bicameral system, the relationship between two chambers is not the same. In some cases or countries, they have equal powers. On the contrary, in some countries, one chamber is clearly superior to the other. Most important issue is the issue of legislative process in the bicameral system. In this system, the legislative function is shared between two chambers, besides the executive and other bodies. In some bicameral systems, both the chambers should pass the legislative function shared equally between two chambers, such as a bill before it could become a law. Here, there are certain problems. One of the problems is who should introduce the bill. In countries such as Brazil, Switzerland, Italy, and Belgium, there are no restrictions on the part of chambers to introduce either financial or non-financial bills. This is quite contrary in the case of Australia, Netherlands, Spain, and Austria, wherein it is mandatory that all the bills should be introduced first in the lower or popular chamber. This is the case even with financial bills. For example, it is the practice in the UK that all the financial bills must be introduced in the lower house. However, there are possibilities of differences emerging between the two chambers. Different methods have been adopted to resolve the disagreements. Joint committee of both the chambers, shuttle system with unlimited exchanges, shuttle system with eventual joint committee, joint sitting of both the chambers, etc. There are advocates in favor of retaining bicameralism. 1. One important argument is that the presence of two houses would give chance to represent multiplicity of interests in diverse societies, especially when different chambers have different membership, terms of office, perspectives, leadership, as well as customs. This would give diversity of outlook, including the fact that it would balance the different or contra interests. In other words, it would give voice to different interests as well as perspectives. In the process, it protects the rights and interests of different groups, including various minorities. Page number 33. 2. Secondly, bicameralism would be more responsive to people and would be less vulnerable to control by a small group. Further, it helps in efficiency of the legislature, as many of them would be having many years of experience. Their experience would be better utilized in another chamber. 3. It prevents the tyranny of majority by checking the abuses of popular houses. At the same time, it checkmates the tyranny of minority by improving the representativeness of decisions under majority rule system. Meanwhile, it also reduces the possibilities of tyranny of an agenda setter. 4. It also argued that delay in the legislation would also be helpful, as it helps in crystallizing the public opinion before any could become a law. Further, it also gives the House for reflection as well as deliberations much more vigorously. 5. Further, it is argued on the basis of history, saying that history supports the presence of the two houses as it provides an additional security. 6. The presence of bicameralism would defeat or upset simple majority rule. 8. In a bicameral legislature, it becomes difficult to influence all the representatives. The legislature will not become almost heaven for special interest lobbyists. 8. It is argued that the checks and balances provided by the bicameral model would prevent adoption of ill-considered legislation into law. 9. Further, it is argued that the presence of two houses would balance the competing values and would bring in an order and stability to the political system, as it provides scope for a larger debate. This is also due to the fact that the two independent bodies of lawmakers is inherently more stable in membership and temperate in thought and action than a one-house legislature. 10. In addition, it is argued that the bicameralism is always open for public scrutiny or public view. This naturally makes it more accountable than the unicameralism. The latter might obviously worsen the issues of accountability problem. Further, it is argued that a bicameral legislature is more accountable to the electorate than the unicameral legislature. Page number 34. 11. It is further argued that the two-house legislatures are inherently superior to having one or unicameral for the reason that it has more capacity, expertise, more autonomy and authority. This is the reason why bicameralism is defended. 12.
Scholars such as Rakhim Kulov argue that the following are the benefits of a bicameral system. It enhances or increases the representation of subnational governments. Secondly, it induces political stability for the simple reason that it would avoid undesirable policies and that it supervises the power of the other house. That is why it avoids the concentration of power in one house. 13. Scholars like William Riker argue that bicameralism has the benefit of lowering down the legislative process, rendering sudden change a difficult one, forces myopic legislatures to have second thoughts, minimizes arbitrariness and injustice in government action. 14. Scholars such as Haywood, 1997, argues that the bicameralism would prevent the majoritarian rule, effectively check the power of the executive. They widen the basis of the representation. They respond to different groups of voters. They ensure that legislatures are thoroughly scrutinized. They act as constitutional safeguard by delaying the passage of controversial bills and providing enough time for discussion and debates. On the contrary, there are critics too who would oppose the bicameralism. One of the best known critics of bicameralism is Thomas Bentham. He opposed on the ground that it would give rise to multiple complications and that there is no special superiority in a bicameral legislature. Further, bicameralism would lead to constant clash of authority, delays in the process of legislation, and that it would become difficult to keep the two houses in terms of equilibrium, particularly in terms of power. Rockna summarizes Bentham's main argument against bicameralism as follows. According to Bentham, the aim of government is the greatest happiness of the greatest number. Therefore, he proposes that a legislative assembly should be based on universal suffrage, for it is seen only then that the aim of legislation will be the advancement of general interest. Thus, in Bentham's eyes, there is no justification for a second assembly in addition to the popular house. His qualification is that if a second chamber represents popular interests, it is useless, and conversely, if it represents only a particular interest, it is mischievous. Based on this, Bentham concluded that the existence of two chambers was not due to a rational analysis of their utility, but rather to prejudice authority-begotten and blind custom-begotten prejudices. 1928, 598. Tanya Weiss, 2003. Page number 35. Further, bicameral legislatures are criticized on the ground that they are generally slower than unicameral legislatures. Further, they would argue that bicameralism would delay the procedure of legislations and create deadlocks due to mutual jealousies and conflict of authority. It is argued that bicameralism would partly decrease accountability. This is because of the fact that the members of two houses could try to blame unsatisfactory legislation on each other. Plus, there are more elected officials for the public to monitor. Furthermore, it is argued that a bicameral legislature is more costly or expensive than a unicameral legislature. This is because of the fact that it requires the employment of a lot of people. Check your progress. 2. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. 2. Also check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. Question number 1. Discuss the arguments in favor of bicameralism. 12.5. Bicameralism in UK, USA, India and Switzerland. In the UK, the bicameralism represents a curious combination of democratic and aristocratic elements.
Here, the upper house, more than representing the different political units, represents different aristocratic classes. The House of Lords, the upper house, contains hereditary peers, which represented the vestige of aristocratic system. There are life peers also whom the government largely appoints. Page number 36. There has been a demand to reduce the number of peers. At present, the number has been reduced to 92, of around 690. At the same time, the House of Lords have no power to block any legislation. To that extent, its power has been reduced. On the contrary, the House of Commons is a popular house. Nonetheless, legislative process in the UK is distinctively different from the other countries, such as Switzerland. Highly controversial bills, mainly the government bills, originate by custom in the House of Commons or the lower house, and, on the contrary, bills which deal with legal and judicial matters often originate in the House of Lords. Most important issue is related to the financial bill. In UK, it is made mandatory that finance bill must originate in the popular house. This is based on the notion that the authorization of expenditure and the imposition of taxation must be the domain of the chamber elected by universal suffrage, and that it is based on the principle that the people must first give their consent to the financial burdens with which they will have to bear. In the US, support to bicameralism came as a reaction against giving representation to social aristocracy, which was prevailing in the then UK. Secondly, it came as a great compromise, which is known as the Connecticut Compromise, between the big and the small states, in which the upper house would have represented equally. On the contrary, population would represent the lower house. In fact, the Connecticut Compromise made it a point that each state, irrespective of population, would enjoy equal representation in the upper house, and the lower house or popular house would have representation on the basis of population. In the United States, each state is allotted a set number of seats in the upper house, mainly in the Senate. While allotting the seats, the differences in the population number are not counted. This is just to ensure that the bigger states should not be overshadowing the smaller states due to population differences. This is the reason why the bicameral system has become a method of combining the principle of democratic equality with the principle of federalism. All votes are equal in the lower house, while all states are equal in the upper house. Interestingly, in US, both the houses have equal powers. The upper house is the Senate, represents the state. It is a co-equal legislator, both on paper and on practice. Although all the financial bills originate in the House of Representatives, the Senate has the exclusive power to ratify treaties and confirm appointments made by the President. Page number 37. Interestingly, both the chambers in the US, the Senate and the House of Representatives, derive their legislative power from the people, as they are directly elected by the people. In India too, the bicameral system is linked to the federal system. The upper house, which is known as Rajya Sabha and treated as permanent house, the members are either appointed or elected by the state assembly or nominated by the President of India. In fact, the Rajya Sabha not only represented the different units of our federation, but also different cultures, religions, languages and customs. At present, there are 245 members, although Constitution has restricted the number to 250, out of which 238 would be representing different states and union territories, and 12 would be nominated by the President for their contributions or knowledge in the field of literature, science, art, and social service. However, one-third of its members retire biannually. In India, the popular house is Lok Sabha. Its members are directly elected once in every 5 years by adult suffrage. The present membership of Lok Sabha is 545. One of the main functions of both the houses is to pass laws. The houses exercise control over the administration of the country and safeguard people's liberties through multiple means, resolutions, motion of adjournment, discussions, etc. On the contrary, the Swiss has bicameralism, Council of States and National Council. The former Council of States has 46 members. In case of National Council, it has 200 members. In fact, Switzerland, there are 20 full cantons and 6 half cantons. This was done for the purpose of representation in the federal legislature. However, the National Council, a popular house, or it is called as the House of People. The membership to council is done on the basis of proportion of population. Here, the deputies are elected for a period of 4 years, and that the membership to the council is distributed on the basis of the proportion of population. More than that, not all the cantons are given equal representation. Some larger cantons are treated as one constituency. This is the reason why some cantons elect more than 30 members and others not more than 2 or 3. On the contrary, representation to the Council of States is as follows. 2 from each cantons are elected on the basis of proportional representation and 1 each from half cantons.
Page 38.
Nonetheless, the members of both the houses serve for a term of 4 years. In fact, both these houses are equal in terms of powers, including the right to introduce legislation. Criticisms. There are criticisms leveled against the bicameralism. 1. One of the important criticisms is the fact that it makes political reforms a difficult one and that it increases the risk of deadlock. This is argued particularly when both the houses have equal powers. 2. Bicameralism slows down the legislative process. Advantages. A forum of the World Senates, in its meetings held in March 2000, has clearly identified the following advantages of bicameralism. 1. Firstly, bicameralism is appropriate to those countries which are adopting decentralization policies, especially as they justify representation of different units at the central level. 2. Secondly, it acts as a guarantor of stability during the period of transition to democracy. 3. Further, bicameralism is the best as well as the easiest way to accommodate the dualist structure of the state, at the same time national as well as provincial. 4. In addition, bicameralism would enable the parliamentary system to correct and incorporate national interests. 7. Lastly, bicameralism is a means of ensuring the separation of powers. There are other advantages too. Tanya Weiss, 2003, argues that bicameralism would increase the efficiency, improve the quality of legislation, reduce corruption, etc. Page number 39. Check your progress. 3. Note. 1. Use the space given below for your answer. 2. Also check your answer with the clues given at the end of the unit. Question number 1. Compare and contrast bicameralism in UK, the US, India, and Switzerland. 12.6. Let us sum up. Over the years, a debate has grown about the suitability of unicameralism and bicameralism. There are advocates who defended the need for unicameralism on the grounds that it would benefit small, non-federal, homogeneous countries in terms of culture, ethnicity, and other factors. It is more efficient than the bicameral system. It would expedite the legislative process or the procedures than the bicameralism. On the contrary, there are arguments favoring bicameralism. Presence of two houses would give chance to represent multiplicity of interests in diverse societies, especially when different chambers have different membership, terms of office, perspectives, leadership, as well as customs, be more responsible to people and would be less vulnerable to control by a small group. It prevents the tyranny of majority by checking the abuses of popular houses. Delay in legislation would also be helpful as it helps in crystallizing the public opinion before any bill could become a law. That the checks and balances provided by the bicameral model would prevent adoption of ill-considered legislation into law. Presence of two houses would balance the competing values and would bring in an order and stability to the political system, as it would provide a larger scope for a larger debate. It enhances or increases the representation of subnational governments. However, with the collapse of Soviet Union, the debate has taken a new turn. In 1992, the Czech Republic opted for a bicameral system. The same year, Poland once again introduced bicameralism, especially it reintroduced Senate, which was earlier abolished in 1952. Page number 40. Two more countries in recent years have joined the debate between bicameralism versus unicameralism. Taiwan, open brackets, the legislative yuan there coexists with the National Assembly, close brackets, and Tajikistan. 12.7 Keywords. Legitimacy means rightful or lawful. Burdensome means taxing or troublesome. Hereditary means inherited. Tyranny means oppressive. Authority means power or influence. Advocate means support. Equilibrium means balance. 12.8 Some useful books. James MacGregor Burns and Jack Walter Peltarsson. Government by the People: The Dynamics of American National, State and Local Government, 6th edition, Englewood, New Jersey, Prentice Hall, 1966. By Tanya Weiss, The Theory of Bicameral Parliaments, PPR Briefing, Paper Number 22, September 2003. By Rakim Kulov, R&D, The Relative Pros and Cons of the Second Chamber in the Ukrainian Context, at www.spea.indiana.edu/pdp/anaLYSES/research%20publications/bicameralism_capital-E-capital-R.htm. Forum of the World Senates, 2000. Bicameralism around the world: position and prospects, at www.senat.fr.senats www.bicameralism.edu/english/english-synthese.html by William Riker, The Justification of Bicameralism, International Political Science Review, 1992. Page number 41. 12.9. Answer to Check Your Progress Exercises. Check Your Progress 1. See Section 12.3. Check Your Progress 2. See Section 12.4. Check Your Progress 3. See Section 12.5.
Page 42, Notes.